Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Thomas Fuller said, "Those who make the best use of their time have none to waste." Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today the topic is all about time, and really time and the connection with our personality. And the reason that there's that connection is because our personality really defines how we perceive time and really drives how we use time. Your personality decides whether you're time obsessive, time compulsive, time imperative, or time impulsive. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today is time and how we manage it and the role that our personality plays in the whole process of what we do with time and how we value it and how we spend our time. And for us, it may be in our personality that we're really a very good money, very good time manager. And the reason I said money is because time is like money. You only have so much that you can get in a short period of time, and you have to use it very, very wisely. So that was the reference there. But the information that I'm sharing on time and about personality is something that's in my book, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It? The book is available through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. And the reason that I'm bringing up time at this point in time, seems like a little play on words there, didn't it, is because of the fact that really everything is quickening so much. And I keep hearing in all of my work that I do with people, is Carol, where is time going? Why does it seem like it's speeding up? And why can't I seem to gain on my task list? And I need to really reevaluate how I spend my time. And I'm not having any joy in my life because my time's being eaten up by a lot of other demands or tasks or so forth. So it's been kind of a cry in the energetically and working with people of saying, you know, what is this thing about time? So I thought it was a perfect time to be able to talk about it. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, you want to talk to me about time, want to talk to me about your personality, then I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada, and even international callers, you can use that number. All you have to do, of course, is to dial your international calling code. So again, if you have a question for me, 877-230-3062. One last chance for me to invite you to join me April 9th, that's this coming Saturday, in Andover, Massachusetts, for an event that I'm going to be doing with Lauren Rainbow and John Holland. The event is called Finding Your Way, Intuitive Messages for the Mind, Body, and the Spirit. This event is going to be very exciting because we're going to be really looking at the way your body speaks to you. That'll be my part of the job, is how does your body talk to you? And how does it send messages, and how can you decipher those messages, and what does the language of energy tell you about what's going on in your life, and when you're at odds with yourself or the tension? And then John Holland, a psychic medium, is going to be talking about our spirit connection and how we can use our own connection with our spirit and with those who have crossed over to the other side, how we can use all of the resources we have in that spirit world to be able to help us find our own way. And then Lauren Rainbow is going to be talking about the power of meditation and how to be able to change the messages that your mind sends that get you at odds with yourself and causes you to doubt the messages that your mind, your body, and your spirit are sending you. So again, it's April the 9th in Andover, Massachusetts. You can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. There's information there. You can register online. And then also we've just added a Sunday event that's going to be just me, and I'm going to be talking about inner guidance and what it is and what it's not, and then also how can you use your inner guidance to be able to help you find your way and to be able to help you in the decision-making. And then one last thing, and I'm going to bring this up at the next time, starting April 16th, we have a wonderful webinar that's a four-part series that is going to be all about Believe and Achieve, and we have four different Hay House authors. I'm going to be kicking off the event April 16th, talking about why don't we really achieve, especially when we believe as much as we do. And then we've got Dr. Stephen Farmer, who is going to be sharing his wonderful shaman energy and wisdom around Achieve and Believe. We have Venus, Andrek that's going to be also speaking about the power of believing and the power of achieving. And then we're going to end the series with Summer McStravick that's going to be talking about flow dreaming and how to be able to use the power of energy and the flow to be able to achieve what you desire. Very exciting event. You can find out more by going on my website on the homepage, www.ritberger.com. Lots of things coming up. I hope you'll check it out. If you click on the place on Believe and Achieve, it'll take you right to a site where you can actually register online. And we will be offering a download for everybody, for all of the series, that for everybody that actually registers for the event itself. So please check us out. It's going to be very exciting. Lots of things going on, all designed to be able to help you find your way, use your inner guidance, and to be able to achieve all those things that you truly desire. So thinking about time, I went in and I did some research on it, typical of my personality. And I went in and I looked at time, and I went back and I looked at the history of time. And I found something really interesting as I was going through this process of trying to understand a time and how to be able to bring it forward. And when time was first created, way, way, way back when, it was really created as a measurement of the changing of seasons. At no point in time was time really something that drove the activities, the daily activities of people, but it was literally to let people know when to plant the crops and then when to be able to harvest the crops. So that was the entire purpose that time was even created. Then it evolved to a place where it became a tool that can help us actually measure the passage of our time, of our lives and our time. And it was more, again, not to drive our behavior and change our behavior and create the stress that it's currently doing, but it was really so we could measure these great passages that we would go through, these kind of rites of passage in our lifetime, to be able to look back and to say, at this time in my life, this is where I was, and then be able to look at time in the future to be able to help decide where we wanted to be. So again, not any time in that process of creating it had it evolved to the point where it literally ran our life. And that's what's happened now. And what I found is that, you know, this common cry that I talked about, you know, where's time going? It seems like days come and go, years come and go, and so forth, and we don't seem to get that satisfaction or that joy. Well, what occurs is that when we moved into the industrial age of our civilization and the culture, and this is a global situation, when we went into that industrialized age, then what we did is then we started using machines in order to be able to increase our productivity, to be able to help us be more efficient, to be more comfortable. When we entered into that industrialized age, what occurred is then time took a major shift from the standpoint that we then became a slave to the clock. And over the course of time, that process has become so ingrained in the conditioning. You know, it's from even, I get this, you know, I'll say this all the time about people when I'm doing readings with them regarding time, a certain personality color of green. I will say to them, you know, your time clock is about 15 minutes to a half hour late from everybody else. And I said, you were probably even late being born. And when we look at that, the real irony of that is that everything has to be done right down to the minute. So as a result, what is happening is we measure the usage of our time based on productivity, meaning producing results. And we unfortunately haven't placed value on the fact that time, when we daydream or we just sit around and ponder or think or try to solve a problem by just being in a still place, we've reached a point in our evolution around time is that there's no more time to be able to do that because it's not valued. So what we have is we have a perceptional shift that's taken place. In reality, time hasn't changed based on where it was first created and evolved into. We still have only 24 hours. However, the demands that we have on that time and the perception that we've evolved to that every minute has to be a productive usage of time has really changed it to the point where it feels like time is controlling us instead of us controlling time. And that means that it's not easy for us to put in discretionary time in order to be able to do the things that allow us to be creative or to believe or to dream or to do the different things. And we find a lot of the things we do on a daily basis is just merely tasks. And most of the time, truthfully, they're being run by other people's demands and opinions and their time perception. Time is one of the most significant contributors to why we become stressed. And people say to me, Carol, I'm so stressed. I can't figure out why I'm so stressed. And I'll go immediately and I'll say, so how do you value time? And they, you know, I always get this pause and it's like, hello, are you still there? Are you breathing? They go, yeah, I'm thinking about that because I've never really thought about how I value time. So when you look at time, it either manages you or you manage it. There's nothing in between. And if your value of time is to spend time with people, and yet you're being measured on your productivity and being with people isn't part of the criteria for being productive, then you are going to be jumping through somebody else's hoops. And then as a result, you're going to have a lot of time stress in your life. So let me go a little bit deeper into this. There are some personalities, and I'm going to talk more about personalities in the second segment, but just to kind of give you a perception that you can see in time to help us understand the differences. So a certain personality color, a red, sees time as being literal. What that means is 1 minute is literally 60 seconds, no more, no less. So they place value on that 60 seconds. And what irritates them the most is when other people waste their time. For example, for the red personality, if somebody says, be here at 10 o'clock, the red will be there at 10 o'clock, and in most cases will be early because they value time differently, because that time has value and they need to be able to utilize it in the best way that they can to get the most productivity. But what happens if you're late? And what happens if your personality is that time and the deadline is a place to start, where with a red, it's absolute, it's cast to concrete. Every second that you go beyond that 60 seconds, that 1 minute, that goes to 1 minute, to 2 minutes, to 15 minutes, you're late, that personality becomes extremely irritated, and they lose respect for you, and they lose their desire to interact with you because you have wasted their most valuable asset, which is time. So if you're dealing with a personality that is so absolute in time and you know you're going to be late, you're better off calling that person or texting them and letting them know, listen, I'm running late. Let them know how late you're running. And that doesn't mean it's going to create a conflict. What it says to that red personality is, okay, I have 15 minutes. What can I fit in that time to be able to make it productive? What can I do to get it off my checklist and to be able to do it? And then what you'll find is that you'll find that when you interact with a person who is very literal on time and you're running late because they knew what was up and then they were able to work within it and be productive, there was no conflict. But if you hadn't called, what would happen is that person would sit there and they would become irritated, they would become uncomfortable, they would become resentful. Actually, they would become angry. And then by the time the two of you met, then the doors of communication have already started to be closed. So again, very, very important for you to be able to really look at your perception of time. On the other hand, if somebody's perception of time is that it's open-ended, what that means is the moving target and the task associated with it can be changed. Actually, if something better comes along, then what can happen is when they have to deal, if your perception is of that spontaneity and the adaptability, and you have to deal with somebody that is very rigid with time, we have the potential for conflict. For you, if a deadline is the place to start, if it's important to you, you'll be on time. If it's being driven by somebody else, then it'll be a place to start. When that happens and somebody gets upset with you, you take it with a grain of salt. They can't understand why you're not upset because you didn't hit the deadline. And then we have conflict again. So, again, perception of time, very, very important. When it comes to time, here's some things that I found that were important for us to remember. Everyone procrastinates when it comes to doing something they don't want to do. No one wastes time when it comes to doing what they want to do. So if you find yourself procrastinating around time, then the best thing that you can do is you can actually go in and ask yourself, who's driving this task? Who's driving this demand? And if it's not you, chances are you're going to procrastinate. If your personality is where you don't want to do that and your time can be utilized in a different area or in a different focus, then you're going to continually perpetuate, be late, or you're going to procrastinate. People have different perceptions of time and how they use it. Some people control it, others adapt to it, and some people just plain don't want to do anything with it because it's got so much conflict around it. Understanding how you value time and how you other people value time and how you can help accommodate their time needs is going to reduce the stress for you, for them, and actually everybody that's involved in the process. It's important to remember that no matter how much you try to comply, your perception of time to someone else's, if it is different, there is going to be a conflict. Effective time management should always include unscheduled time. Again, that is something that we don't really place value on, and as a result, we don't put into our schedule, and that increases the stress itself. If you find yourself stressed over time, ask yourself this question: will this really matter down the road? And if the answer is yes, then press whatever you need to do and press, take care of the task, and get the deadline done, or the task done before the deadline. Don't wait till the last minute. If it's really that important to you, and it is going to make a difference in the future, near future, far future, then what you want to do is jump on it, get it done, get it off the list, and then move on to something else, perhaps maybe time to be able to play. If the answer is no, that it really isn't going to make that much difference down the road, then what you might want to do is to go a step back and reevaluate your perception of time, and then also, again, see whose demands you're jumping through as far as the hoops around time, and then reprioritize your time and really look at the way that you use it and give yourself what you need in order to value it. So lots of good information on time. There's much of a quickening that's taken place. The Mayan calendar talked about this as we got closer to the phenomena of 2012, the 2011, 2012, 2013 years. The Mayan calendar talked about the time, talked about time in the sense that consciousness is going to move very quickly. In fact, the calendar says that when it first began, a thought, because the Mayan calendar is all around consciousness, a thought, when it was created, would take 16.4 million years for that thought to completely live its life cycle before, in fact, it would then go into decay and a new thought would be created. According to the Mayan calendar, we've been working on a single thought, working and manifesting, going through maturity and then decay, meaning new thoughts being created, old thoughts being released, in 260 days. And according to the calendar, in the year of 2012, our thoughts will have a lifespan of 26 minutes. So something to think about from different directions as far as how time really has changed, and to ask yourself, are you managing it or is it managing you? All right, let's go ahead in and try to get a caller in here. Hi, Kim. How can I help you, hon?
Hi. I wanted to find out if you could give me some insight into I'm having problems with my sciatic. And it used to just be on my right side. Now it's on both sides. And I've done quite a few different healing modalities, and nothing is addressing it.
Okay, so let's go. Let me ask, is one of the modalities acupuncture?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Would you please continue that one?
Okay.
The next one, chiropractic.
Okay.
Are you using it?
I have in the past. I haven't in the last few months.
Okay, if you do choose to go that route, what I would encourage you to do is find someone that does non-force chiropractic. What that means is they're going to do more manipulation of the muscles and spine through something called an activator, where they're not going to actually go in and manipulate the spine itself or to crack the spine. And so that's what you're looking for. The issue on the sciatic nerve is twofold, son. Actually, there's three aspects to it. The first thing is that the muscles are pulling on the vertebrae, both in the shoulders and in the lower back, and it's causing your spine to be tweaked, and meaning it's causing it in the shoulders to go to the left and then in the hips area to go to the right. When that occurs, it puts compression on the lumbar spine, L1, L2, L3 is also involved with you. And that puts pressure on those vertebrae. It causes them to twist a little bit, and that can put pressure on the trunk nerve, that sciatic nerve. There's also an injury that you have that probably was from childhood. It feels like it's been there for a long time. You have a little bit of a bone spur. Have you had an x-ray done by orthopedic surgeon or anyone?
No, I haven't.
Okay. There's nothing they're going to do about it, I'll just be honest with you. But if it's something that is important for you to validate, I would encourage you to go see an orthopedic surgeon. And what they'll do is ask him for an x-ray. There is a slight bone spur that actually has developed on the right vertebrae, L3. And that bone spur, when the muscles get really tight and the vertebrae starts to twist, then what will occur is it causes that bone spur to just hit that nerve enough that it can cause the sciatica. So there's some things that you can do around that. First of all, work with someone that it can help you release the toxins in the muscles themselves, whether that's myofascial release, whether that's massage, stretching, mild stretching would be worthwhile. Yoga, there are certain poses that would be very healthy for building that core part of your stomach, lower back area, that pelvic girdle. It would help you also in some of the yoga to be able to get the muscles out of the shoulders, get the tension out of the shoulders the way it is. And then my sense is that the spine will start to fall back into place where it needs to. Yep, go ahead, sweetie.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So acupuncture and chiropractor and yoga.
Yes. And then the other thing that you can do is you can do hydrotherapy. What you can do is you can do warm baths. You could do things with Epsom salt. You could go to a pool and get into a warm water, soak in a tub, something like that. That will help remove the toxins and the inflammation as well. What you're dealing with is you're dealing with a lot of inflammation because your muscles are really tight as well. That was the other part of what I was talking about. You can do curcumin or turmeric, some people will call it. It's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. That can help you when it gets to the point where it starts to bother you. You can do something like an Advil or a Aleve or a Tylenol or something that you can just remove the inflammation from the muscles itself. That will take the pressure off the sciatic nerve as well. The other part of it is that are you aware of your right foot and your arch has changed in that foot? That was the third thing I picked up.
No.
Have you noticed that you are favoring the foot, that your stride is different, tightness in the ankle at all?
No, I have noticed that my I felt like my feet have grown, flattened a little.
Okay, that's true. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And what occurs is with that change is it's putting pressure on the Achilles tendon, the plantar ligaments in the bottom of the foot. And what it's doing is it's causing your right ankle to pronate, to turn in slightly. So what that does is when the ankle is tight, our ankles are tight, it tightens up the muscles in our pelvic girdle in the sacroiliac joint. And then that tightness goes all the way up the lumbar part to where your sciatic nerve is. So there's things you can do when you're sitting. You can point flex your toes. You can rotate your ankles. That'll keep them very fluid, very loose. You can look at maybe getting some inserts to be able to put into your shoes to be able to accommodate the changes in your feet. The reason that you're having it on the left side is that your left side of your body has been trying to carry the weight to balance out the changes that have happened in your right foot. So there's some things you could look at, shoes, you could look at insoles, you can look at that particular area, rotate your ankles, keep your ankles nice and loose, that'll keep your sacroiliac joint loose, and that will help with the sciatica as well.
Okay. Is this going to be like a like going like long term to the acupuncturist and chiropractor?
No, I don't believe so. But I do believe what will be long term, hun, is that you're going to probably need to change your lifestyle to where you're going to put stretching into your daily activities starting in the morning so you can keep everything limber the way that it needs to and keep those muscles and the fascia fluid to the point where it just doesn't get it doesn't get tight, the muscles don't get hard, and then you don't get the compression on that sciatic nerve.
Okay.
And in Edgar Casey always used castor oil packs. He was always a believer of that. So you could do that in your lower back on your right hip. You don't appear to have any structural issues as far as a hip socket or anything like that. The only thing that I picked up structurally was this very, very small bone spur that normally would not be a problem until you get twisted. And then it's just like taking a little needle and just going poke, poke, poke to that sciatic nerve. And then when you sit a certain way or you sleep a certain way and those spine, those muscles lock in, that spine twist, then now you're locked up.
Okay. All right.
So,
well, thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for being so open and allowing me to come in and read you that way. So, no, this isn't long-term, so let's just kind of throw that one out the window. It's just something that we'll just need to change a little bit of lifestyle and make this go away.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. All right, I think what I'm going to do, I've got more callers on the line, but what I'd like to do next is, Annette, stay on the line, hon. What I'd like to do, and all of you, I'd like to come back. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to talk more about personality and the time connection, and then also I'm going to take a lot more calls. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll-free at 1-877-230-3062.
welcome back. And if you're just joining me today, I'm talking about time. And boy, is it flying and going by very quickly. And I'm going to, the topic is really about, are you managing time or is it managing you? And in this segment, I'm going to be talking about how each of the four personality colors perceives time and then consequently values it. The personality is a very important part of how we perceive time, how we value time, and how we manage it. And as I was sharing in the first segment, is that if we actually find that we're jumping through other people's time hoops and it doesn't match our values or our perception, then it creates a tremendous amount of stress for both people and then ultimately can create a tremendous amount of conflict. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about time and about the role of personality. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or you'd like to talk about time or about your personality, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. Now, if you're familiar with my personality work, you know that my personality work is all about using color to help us understand who we are. And the reason that I chose color is because it's a common universal language. We talk about having a blue day or that we're red with anger or we're green with envy or that, you know, we're just pink and in love or whatever it may be. So I really found that in my work with personality behavioral psychology, when you start using words and start labeling people, it can create a lot of negativity. So I went and started using color and found it was a very effective way and a very non-threatening way for people to not only look at themselves, but to be able to see people who are different than they are through the eyes of color instead of looking through the eyes of everything that's wrong with the other person. So in the working with my color and using personality, the colors are red, orange, yellow, green. If you're not familiar with your color and you're not familiar with my books, I have actually four books out, Your Personality, Your Health, What Color is Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, and then also Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It. And in each of these different books is a full assessment that you can go in. You can answer some statements that talks. The statements talk to your brain. It says to your brain, how do you gather information? How do you process? And how do you make decisions? Because as wonderful and exquisite as this human brain is, that's really its job. Gather information, process it, and make decisions. When we gather information the way we need, we process it then the way we need, and then if we make decisions based on it feeling right and we follow that, everything works out. If we make decisions based on logic and we try to make them on emotions, it never works. If you make them emotional decisions based on emotion and you try to use logic, it doesn't work. So, and the same is true when it comes to time. So if you would like to take the full assessment, you can go to my book. Full detailed information about each of the four colors. My love book is about how that you apply your personality, your perception of love, and how can you develop a relationship where both people's needs around love and defining love and intimacy are all met. And then in my managing people, one of the things that I talk about to a great extent in the book is about our perception of time. Now, if you don't have my book, which are available through Amazon.com or HayHouse.com, then what you can do is you can go to my website, whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. There's a free mini assessment on there. Again, a few statements, and then poof, you become a personality color. And what it'll do in their brief description, it'll get you started on understanding your neurology of who you are, why you do the things you do, why you think the way you do, and why you view time the way that you do. So again, www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. So let me just give you a brief overview of each of the four colors. Again, red, orange, yellow, green. The red personality is time obsessive. For this personality color, time is tangible. Once a commitment is made, it's cast in concrete. They are driven by deadline. Time is driven by the task at hand. Time is measured based on results. Time is literal. 1 minute is 60 seconds. When they commit time to you, they expect you to be on time, and they will give you as much time as they can, but they also will say to you, I can spend 15 minutes with you, and they will literally spend 15 minutes with you. If the conversation isn't done and more time is needed, then they will say to you, I have no more time at this point, but what we'll do is let's reschedule. They'll look at the calendar, give you a precise time, And then they say, then I can put in another 15 minutes. But if they give you 15 minutes and you find that you want to continue the dialogue for a half hour, then they become irritated. The orange personality is time compulsive. For this personality color, time is driven by someone else's demands. The orange personality, the gift they are to all of us, is they will always put other people's emotional needs before themselves. This also is true when it comes to their perception of time. Time involves dealing with people. They measure the productivity and the best usage of their time based on how they're helping other people. As with the Reds, commitments are cast in concrete. If you make a commitment and you don't follow through, neither the Red or the Orange will give you a second chance. They won't trust you, so it's very important because of their perception of time that if you make a commitment, you follow through on it. And again, if you can't, just call them or text them and let them know, I'm running late. And give yourself enough time before you get send that task out, that call. If you're running 15 minutes, if you think you're running 15 minutes, think you're going to be a half hour, tell them a half hour and let them use their time the way they need to. As with the Red for the Orange, time is measured on results. They place the most value when they're spending time with people that they enjoy and people who are sensitive to their needs and they can be sensitive to the other person's needs. And they actually place more value on the usage of time around spending time with people than they do on the task at hand. The yellow personality is time imperative. For this personality color, time is measured by productivity. It's a resource that's to be fully utilized. It's measured by tasks rather than events and people. Time isn't necessarily cast in concrete because the yellow personality needs a lot of time to be able to think things through before they make a commitment. Once a commitment is made, then the yellow is as time sensitive and is commitment-oriented as the Red and the Orange personality. Time equates to freedom to do what they want to do and when they want to do it. So for a yellow to be caught in a situation where they have to be accountable for every minute of their time is absolutely untenable to them. And what they will do is they become distracted. They also will get to the place where they become resentful. And it isn't resentful that you're wasting their time. It's resentment comes from the standpoint that they don't have the time to think things through. The green personality is time impulsive. For this personality color, time is a moving target. It can be adapted to fit any unforeseen circumstances. Time is measured by effort rather than results. Greens have a tendency to overschedule their time. They also believe that time is well spent being able to have fun with people and to be able to share things with people. For the green personality, there can be a deadline. They will start working just prior to the deadline. But if they're working on a deadline and somebody comes along and says, hey, listen, we're going to go and, you know, meet after work and all of us get together and spend some time, that green will take the task at hand, put them aside, go and have a good time, come back to the task, and then try to squeeze some things that aren't humanly possible in a 24-hour period of time. For the green, time is emotional. That is also true for the orange, because the green and orange make decisions based on emotional judgment. Out of all four of the personality colors, the green must have time every day for play, to do something that's fun. If a green has a day where there is no fun, then the green is headed into a stress situation that's going to become very untenable. So what a green wants to do is in your daytime or in your scheduler, whatever you're using, you want to be able to put in time. Time meaning doing things that are for you and doing things with other people and, most important, doing things that are fun. So just that brief overview that I gave you of each of the four colors and their perception of time and how they value it can start helping you realize that not everyone is a one-size-fits-all when it comes to time, nor how they manage time, how they prioritize their time, and how they value their time. Now, as children, we all get conditioned to be able to use time in the way that other people tell us that we should and to be able to be punctual and responsible and make the commitments and follow through and all those things. And every personality color is capable of that. And every color does it in their own way. The only difference is that every color does it differently. So again, something for you to think about as far as time, and then being able to utilize this the best way that you can, so you can really get a value out of your life and put some joy back into it and have that discretionary time. And then I will probably not hear from people saying, I just don't know where time has gone and I'm not having any fun and any joy. Then when I start talking to people, they'll say, you know, I am very busy, Carol. However, I do make time for myself to do things that are important. So that's kind of the goal that we would like to be able to put forward, is to be able to find some time to do what's important rather than always spending our time doing what's urgent. All right, let's jump back into calls. Hi, Annette. How can I help you, hon?
It's an honor to be speaking with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel the same way. What a beautiful light you are.
Thank you.
You're a very big light. Excuse me for interrupting you, sweetie, but I have to just say this. You are a very big light in a very little body.
Thank you.
Has anybody ever told you that you're kind of bigger than life?
No.
Well, I am. Okay, so now, how can I help you, hon?
I'm calling for my husband, Steve, who retired about a year ago. He does tire easily, but recently he's been having some pain in his abdomen, specifically on his right side. I was wondering what you pick up from that.
The pain, let me go in. I have to use you. I have to kind of go and go, hello, Annette, and then I go over to your husband.
And you're here.
So let's see. Couple of things that I pick up. The fatigue that he's feeling, his body just feels run down overall. His sleep cycle is off. His circadian rhythm is off. He's not waking up as rested as he was. It feels like there's some chemical imbalance that's going on in the body that has caused his fatigue. I'm not picking up the immune system is involved in it, but it feels like the waning of the testosterone, which is kind of that male hormone that keeps the male, you know, very active and very engaged in life. I'm also picking up that his thyroid is on the low side. So that could be also creating some of the fatigue that he has. Honestly, if I sent you to a doctor and had a thyroid test, they would come back and say it's normal, but I can tell you it is on the low side. And this fatigue that he's feeling, and I had to kind of change it from just being tired to a fatigue, has been happening more often, and it seems like it's becoming a little more mindfully concerning, maybe physically debilitating in the last 3 months. So he might want, when was the last time he had a physical?
Just recently, and like you're saying, the blood test came back normal.
Yeah. Did they test him at all for his testosterone level?
No.
If that's something, it could be done either through naturopath or it could be done through a doctor. But his testosterone is really on the decline.
Okay.
And that could have to do with it also. When I go to his right side, there's a couple of things. Is that his liver feels sluggish. So there might be some things that you can... he's not a pill taker, is he?
Not for supplements, but for his other medications.
Okay, good. That's what I picked up. It's like, oh, I was going to suggest the milk thistle, but I'm not sure. So, is he a good vegetable eater?
Yes.
Okay. Dark greens.
Okay.
The more greens that you can get in him, the higher the chlorophyll in the greens, the more it'll help his liver.
Okay.
So you want to do greens and you want to do reds. Red fruits and vegetables as well. Keep things that are acidic out of his diet where he doesn't ingest a lot of it, but work for alkaline-based foods. Green, red will help with that thing. The thing that I get every so often in the right side, and I understand the perplexity of it, is that it feels like his gallbladder is having a difficult time digesting fat. And it may be that if he eats foods that are heavily loaded with carbs or has heavy loads of fat to it, then I could pick the gallbladder coming in and going, you know, I'm just not happy camper, I can't do this.
Okay.
So, and then the other thing is that, and I can, again, kind of understand the dilemma around it, is that his spine is out of alignment in the thoracic spine around his shoulder blades, just at the base of the shoulder blade, and that's causing some muscle tension. So I've got thyroid being low. You can look at some things to do with that. You can look at doing things for the liver to help it detox. You can look at maybe a massage or some kind of muscle manipulation, stretching, something like that that would help. Would he do yoga?
He might be open to it.
You know, if he only did a couple of poses, if there were things that he could find in yoga, like sitting and maybe twisting his trunk from, you know, one side to the other and holding it, it doesn't have to be a full hour of it, but there would be certain poses that would help him in this stretching of the muscles that would help as far as some of the discomfort that I find in the muscle itself. But when I go in and I come, the thing that I pick up the most is that he probably needs to really start watching what he eats as far as his carb load and his fat load and his gallbladder.
Very good. Thank you so much.
None of it is dangerous. None of it is life-threatening. But it's bugging the daylights out of him. You know, he's kind of like that ever-ready buddy. He just thinks he can keep on going and going, which is a wonderful quality. But again, there are a couple things that are going on. Again, things that I think could be tweaked, could be looked at, something that he could engage in that would help him feel like he's helping himself.
Fantastic.
When did he retire?
Just about a year ago.
Yeah, he's still struggling with his identity, hon.
Oh.
He's still struggling with his identity. And, you know, that happens to any of us, male or female, that retires, but especially to males. And then males go in and they have andropause, it's called, that their cycle for hormonal changes kind of is women. We go through at 50 to 55, maybe 57. Men start at about 62 and they go until about 66, 67. And that's when the testosterone changes, the thyroid becomes sluggish, and the body starts developing a lot of the, you know, wear and tear, revealing a lot of wear and tear. So my sense is it has a lot to do with identity and the andropause that he's going through.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. All right, let's try squeeze one more in. Hi, Peg. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. I'm so glad I got to talk to you today.
Well, thank you. Me too.
I have a question actually for my daughter.
Okay.
She was in a car accident about a year ago. She got hit by the side and it, you know, whiplashed her neck.
Yep.
And she's been having a lot of pain. She's gone to a chiropractor, I know, and they did the TENS machine.
Correct.
So I'm just wondering if you could see what you could see, because now she's exasperated with it all, and they're saying that they could go in and kill the nerve. And I don't know, to me, that sounds kind of drastic, so
yeah.
I was hoping there would be something else.
Yeah. Okay, so what occurred in the accident, I'm going to give you a picture, because I've found in doing my work that if people can have a visualization of what's going on, then they'll be able to figure out ways to either accommodate the injury or they'll be able to find ways to be able to eliminate it. What occurred is in the compression in the nerve, in the vertebrae, the cervical vertebrae 4, 5, and 6. I don't think 6 was in the accident. I think that's what's occurred over the course of time where her muscles are have locked down in that area. There was a herniated disc, and she's actually got bone to bone.
Oh, yeah.
She lost that little pancake gel. Part in between. So she's got bone on bone. And what that does is the peripheral nerves that come out of there, and there's a trunk nerve and then a bunch of peripheral nerves. And to go in and deaden that nerve will then be more of a problem, very frankly, for her than it is with what she's living with. So there's things... I'm going in and I'm really asking her body a lot of questions, because her body is reaching a place where it just plain doesn't want to be touched.
Yeah.
It's so she's got some fibromyalgia that has set in, huh? And one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to go in with her and look at fibromyalgia and look at what it is. Now, fibromyalgia is usually diagnosed by going in and checking 13 different points. She doesn't have the fibromyalgia that's throughout her entire body. She has fibromyalgia, that muscle pain, that nerve, the irritated nerve, overactive nerve, sending too many messages to the brain that I'm in pain. The brain's trying to figure out what to do. So from that standpoint, what she's getting is she's developing some fibromyalgia as a result of the injury itself. And there's things that she can do to be able to work with the fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia can ultimately become a chronic inflammation in that particular injury area of her body. So, and what has occurred is that she's got inflammation in the bursa, in the rotator cusp, in the shoulder itself, and then as a result, it's creating a problem. So what I'd encourage you to do, let's see, there's a couple of things. You can go to WebMD, and you can look at fibromyalgia and look at things that can be done there. She wants to manage inflammation. If she went to a doctor, they could put her on a medication. It's still a little bit iffy as what it is, Lyrica, I believe is the name of it, that can actually stop the messages that are being sent in the pain messages, so that can help her. And
what
then
was the name of it?
I think it's called Lyrica.
Lyrica?
Yes, but what you can do is just go and have her talk to the doctor about some kind of medication for fibromyalgia.
Okay.
And the doctor say, where did you get the diagnosis for fibromyalgia? Go and let her know all the symptoms so she can talk to them that way. The other thing is that from an alternative standpoint, I really don't mean like I'm selling something, but if you go to my website, www.ritberger.com, what you'll do, go to my website, go to the tab, teleclass, click on the downloads, the under downloads archives, teleclass archives, you'll find a write-up on fibromyalgia, $5.95. It'll give you the psychological part and all the alternative things you can do for fibromyalgia.
Okay, great.
So good. So, yes, what it is, we don't want it to become any more chronic than it is. So thanks, Peg. I really appreciate that, and I'll send some good healing energy with your daughter and the rotator cusp and everything.
Thank you. Just love you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, you know, I love all of you, and thank you for being with me and spending your Wednesday with me. If you want to hear this show or share it with a friend, rehear it, share it with a friend, you can always go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then go to my radio tab, and then you'll see all my archives, and then you can click on the show and re-listen to it again. You can even download it to your iPod, and then go to my website, check out Believe and Achieve and all the things that I have going on. Thank you so much for spending your day with me. I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ryberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.